Welcome back to Double Fries No Slaw, presented by Guthrie's Tallahassee Ford, powered by Prize Picks. We'll give some love to all those folks a little bit later, but we are here on April 26th. Spring has wrapped up. The NFL draft is wrapped up. And now it's the long off season where we wait until college football is back. TJ Pinder, Richie Barnes. Richie, how you doing, bud?
Pretty good, man. Good weekend so far. Got some golf in yesterday. Saw the Magic defend home court to take a 2-1 lead over Detroit. We do have some NBA playoffs going on. But more importantly, we actually have a little bit of Florida State news to get into, which I'm excited about today.
Yeah, it does really feel, and look, I know people know the mood of the fan base and just kind of where we are in general, but it does feel like the offseason that has like had the least amount of actual news. Like, aside from the frustration that a lot of people feel, which I understand that, you know, trying to be so negative on every single episode, but like outside of even just the frustration, there's less news. There was one guy drafted. We'll talk about the NFL draft here in a little bit. So it's not like there was a ton of guys that you were prepping for the draft. You kind of knew you were going to get one, maybe two, but it ended up just being one. No spring portal window. So you're not worried about like who might leave the roster, who they might add to the roster because of the current state that Florida State's program is in, because of, new staff members and new position coaches in some spots. There's not as much recruiting news. And a lot of that's more in the summer anyway, but it's not like there's a ton of recruiting news going on either. And, I'll tell you, there has been a ton of basketball stuff, but basketball, just for our audience, doesn't move the needle quite as much. And so there's just been less news. And I do think a big factor of that is the fact that Florida State's fan base is not super thrilled with just the way that things are going. And so there's a general just like, dude, I'm checked out. Just get me till fall. But honestly, that's why we haven't done as much content. That's why I haven't done as many shows, because there's just less news. There's not a lot of guys. I mean, Deuce had a feature in, I saw Adelson did, but there's not a lot of features on guys that are coming out in this spring. It's been the quietest off season that I can ever remember. Again, a lot of that having to do with factors outside of Florida State, but then a lot of it having to do with things that are happening internally too, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because typically every offseason, you know, this is the time that, you know, things sort of, the draft is the winding down of things. And we never really had that buildup even leading to the draft. You know, it's not like when we had those pro days towards the, at the end of the Jimbo era where, you know, you got your eye on, 10 plus players multiple years in a row that you're saying, okay, could this guy, is this guy going to get drafted? It's where will he get drafted? Yeah. Here, we're just cherry picking. If we can find a guy to get drafted, obviously one did, 0 in the top 100. We'll go over that, more later. And add in, again, we didn't even have a spring game, that we could overanalyze and cherry pick things from this year. So just a lot of things going on or not going on. So it makes it tough for the people that do cover this team, but when we do feel there's a relevant topic or a few, we will be sure to touch on them. And we have a couple today, which I'm excited about.
Another thing too, and you can think whatever you want about this or not, no booster tour this year, and there are reasons for that, obviously, but you're just hearing from Mike Norvell less because of that, right? Like, you can think that's a good thing, think that's a bad thing. Whatever. At the end of the day, it's amoral. Like, it doesn't, you don't have to have a booster tour to win games at the end of the, in the upcoming season. But no spring game, no booster tour, nobody drafted, minus one. Close practice, like everything. Like, what do you talk about? No spring window, no recruiting going on. Like, I feel like when we've done episodes, we're just trying to like piece things together. So I said all that to say, people say, oh, where are you? Where's the show? I don't know, man. Richie and I could just come on here and tell you about our week, I guess, if you guys are that interested. But there's been no FSU news. Like, this has been the driest offseason that I can remember, right? We started this in 2000. It was August of that year, so we weren't around for the spring. So for the spring of 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25, we did much more regular content. And, man, there's just not a lot out there to speculate on, because Florida State's not doing anything this spring. Now, I mean, they had practice, but we'll see if recruiting ticks up here in the next couple of weeks. But all that to say, we are here today, so we will talk about a few things. We'll give some love to our friends over at Guthrie's. Make sure that you visit all three of their locations if you are in or around Tallahassee. That's 1818 West Tennessee Street, 2550 North Monroe and 2870 Appalachian Parkway. I literally almost forgot the Monroe address because it's been so long since we've done this, Richie. But if you're in or around Tallahassee, make sure that you do stop by Guthrie's. If you're anywhere near one, we would encourage you to go check them out. So, all right, on to segment one. Now that we've had a 6-minute intro, Florida State announces Ashton Daniels as quarterback one in a move that I listen, this isn't surprising by any means. I think everybody, like if you had to ask, everybody thought this is the direction that it would go. But I do think it was surprising in the fact that Norvell said just a few days before this, yeah, we're going to have a competition in the fall. And I think that gave people, I do think, when you try and get a read on the fan base, people are looking for any hope possible. And fans can fall into one of two categories of either ultra optimistic or ultra pessimistic. A lot of Florida State's fan base is pessimistic, but anytime you could try to like sell yourself on some kind of a hope, you're thinking, man, that's probably pretty good. Kevin Sperry, maybe pushing for the job. You have a competition that goes on further. Now that, you know, the glass half empty is both these guys stink. And so they're not pushing each other, but like nobody's separated. But like, I think the average fan thought, man, I think it'd be really good. They went out and got a transfer quarterback who has experience starting at two different places, has looked good, looked pretty good at Auburn. Maybe Kevin Sperry really is taking that next leap. And so Norvell says they're going to have a competition in the fall. That doesn't end up happening, as just a couple of days later, they announce Ashton Daniels. And then what's really come out since then is that Sperry probably isn't super close. We also get questions all the time about the JUCO kid that's going to come in the summer, Malachi Marshall. I never was super hopeful there. Once we kind of learned that he wouldn't be coming in until summer, I just didn't think he could do it with that little of the offseason when the other guys had the full offseason. So we will get comments on this question on this video, just asking, what about the true or what about the JUCO kid that's coming in? I don't know. I'm sure that if he goes to fall camp and just significantly outperforms the other guys, that a change will be made. I just don't know that I anticipate that. The Trinidad Chambliss kind of route of being a backup that blossoms into just a phenomenal player. You know, it happens with Tom Brady. It happened with Trinidad Chambliss. I don't know how often that truly is the case. But thoughts on Daniels being named QB1, Richie?
Yeah, I mean, not overly excited by any means and not surprised either, right? I think when you brought him in, they were still had hopes that maybe they could get another quarterback in to, you know, spice up the competition a little bit more. But obviously that did not happen. And you're left with pretty much two options if you were going to announce a starter. And I think for Sperry to have won the job, he would have had to truly outperform Daniels every step of the way during the spring. And again, close practices. But from you know, what's been spoken about from you know, people's sources or whatever that may be, you know, there was no real separation. And you know, Daniels is a one-year guy, so what sense does it make to have a redshirt senior come in and start if he's about even with a redshirt freshman? But I mean, I guess what that tells me is Mike Norvell thinks if the difference is just one or two games, he needs every game he can get. You know, Mike Norvell is coaching for his job right now. And in a perfect world, yeah, you would like to ease in the redshirt freshman. And if it truly is even, a guy that's, you know, homegrown that you brought here and now can take that progressive step that you would like to see in that process, it's just not happening. And, you know, so you bring Daniels in, and I think he feels like, you know, he has experience. He's played in these games before. He's played in, you know, somewhat big moments. And maybe he gives him a slight chance against Alabama. You know, I don't see it. We'll get to that months from now. But, yeah, it's not surprising. And, you know, whether they announce it or not, I guess it gives us a little less to talk about throughout the entire summer. But now we do have a decision that's been made. And what do you have to lose if you're Mike Norvell? You know, you go ahead, you start the guy you brought in. And if he's horrible, it's not like he broke the bank in NIL terms. You know, you cut ties with him early on if he's that bad and see what you have with Sperry. You were just in a very bad situation. And I think all of this, the conversation we're having right now and that we had all spring during this quote-unquote competition, is really an indictment on Mike Norvell and how he's handled this quarterback situation really since he got here.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all that Daniels won the job. I'm a little bit surprised at the timing of it, but like I expected Daniels to win the job from day one. You know, when you bring a guy in from the portal, you're saying that that's who you want to run your offense. Yeah. You know, there's a reason they went out and got a quarterback, because in December, they didn't think Sperry was good enough to run this offense. Like now, So you're, I mean, like, I don't want to tell you that, you know, Mike Norvell's infallible, because certainly he's not, but like, they brought Ashton Daniels in to be the quarterback of this team. And so to think that he ended up winning the job, I'm not surprised by that. I'll tell you this too. You know, certainly I question decisions that Mike Norvell has made, and I'll probably question some that he makes this year, but I do agree. Like, everything he knows his job is on the line, and he knows that the buyout, I mean, I don't know how much you watch. I don't know how much you watch, like, Josh or JD or any of those guys when they talk, you know, Andy and Ari, when they talk about FSU, I mean, it sounds like a eulogy, man. Like, it, yeah, it sounds like, dude, like, they are just legitimately biding time until they can be bad enough to fire him or get the money up to fire him, one way or the other. That's a tough spot to be. So, like, he knows that. He's not dumb to it by any means. And so, all of that considered, like, he understands that pressure, and he's doing what he thinks is best to give Florida State chance an opportunity to win games. I will say this too. I have never pretended to be an expert in breaking down film or understanding the game at that level. We've never done that. I've never done a film breakdown. I've had other people come on and do it because I trust what they're looking at way more than I do. But I do watch the X's and O's guys quite a bit. Coach AB and Kevin Little and Trey's on there some. And they did a reaction to Daniels winning the job. And they essentially showed why Daniels probably does give Florida State a little bit better of a chance. I don't think it's night and day, but a little bit better of a chance to go out and win. Just simple things like Sperry's inexperience, the zip he puts on the ball, the expectation, the route. Now, they did say some positive things about Kevin Sperry and how he's kind of a gamer and just kind of makes things happen that otherwise, you know, maybe wouldn't, kind of like Tommy did, kind of like Jordan did, maybe at a lower level. But when you look at Daniels and you look at his size and you look at the good of Ashton Daniels, you'd think, well, yeah, that's really not that bad. The problem is that there's some bad that comes along with Ashton Daniels too, as there is with any quarterback. Like, nobody's perfect for sure. You're just hoping that somehow this fall, the pieces around him, which were really high on the running back room, were really high on the wide receiver room, were, you know, offensive line to me is a question mark. But if those three units can step up, then I think Daniels will be fine this year. And a lot of it's going to come down to what the defense does. The offensive line's not quite as good. If we don't know what we're going to get there, if the wide receivers and running backs don't live up to the hype that we've been promised, then yeah, you could really struggle. But I don't know. I don't know that Sperry or Daniels changes your overall outlook on the season too much. I mean, I don't even think this is incredibly negative, but I'm looking at this as about a 5-7 win team. You know, things break your way. You might get to that 7 mark. You struggle and some bounces go against you. You're probably going to be closer to 5. You know, like, that's what so I don't think Sperry lowers you to 3, and I don't think Sperry raises you to 9. You know, I think you're just kind of somewhere in that, hey, we're kind of mediocre. We're going to beat some teams. We're going to lose to some good teams. That's where we are. Not surprised by it. Just kind of surprised that Mike said, we're going to have a competition in the fall. And then a couple of days later said, yeah, just kidding on that. We're going to go ahead and name a guy right now. So I know I've rambled a ton on this, Richie, but any final thoughts on it or anything that I've said that sparked something in your mind?
Yeah, and I think you just hit on it a little bit. To any fans that are, you know, stressing out one way or the other, you know, like TJ mentioned, the win total, it doesn't really move at all based on this decision. You know, if you're a baseball fan, you're familiar with the term WAR, wins above replacement. You know, it's not like, you know, Jameis going to a Sean McGuire, where you're like, oh, instead of 12-0, or maybe a 9-3 team. No, this team is, they're going to be what they were going to be no matter who was chosen as a starter. And I don't think, you know, either one, if one of them was clearly that much better, Mike would have announced it right as spring ball ended, not waited a few days. I don't know what took those few days, because clearly he knew. And if you listen to him right after the spring when he said he wasn't ready to announce it, he kind of had some comments in there that made you think he knows, he just doesn't want to tell us just yet. And then he finally said, you know what, let's just put it out there. I do think the one bonus you do get, and you don't want to go into fall camp if you think you already have your mind made up, because every rep matters, especially with what you have so early on the schedule. You just need someone to be ready. And if you can have someone take in, you know, 90% of the first team reps as opposed to 45, 50%, you know, that's going to go a long way in those few weeks you have leading up to the season. So I think that, you know, that's a positive that comes out of this. And, you know, you don't have to worry about this. You know, Sperry made a comment during the portal window when Florida State was looking at other quarterbacks. You know, he was never really looking to transfer anyway, Sperry, I'm talking about. So I think he's going to be happy waiting one more year before he decides to look around potentially, unless Daniels just stinks and we ride with him all year anyways. But overall, this is not going to make or break the season. It's just some news. But being the most important position on the team, it is some major news.
Yeah, the one thing I forgot to kind of reply to you on when you said this was it is an indictment on Mike, you know, and other programs out there take a transfer quarterback every year too. They just go out and get the best of the best, whether that's LSU going and getting CJ Daniels or Jaden Daniels, who wins a Heisman, or Sam Levitt this year, who is projected to do really well, or Miami with Cam Ward and Beck and Mensa, or Indiana with Mendoza and now Hoover from TCU. Like, there's a difference, right? Like, you can be successful with this, but it is an indictment on quarterback recruiting. He's not had one recruit come in here and be worth anything of promise. Even Luke, his highest rated quarterback recruit, went up to Mississippi State and was QB3. So I just, you know, yeah, like, that has to get better. Recruiting in general has to get better. I don't know that, you know, but at the same time, you don't have the time to go and develop a guy. Yeah. You have to go win games. And they don't think Sperry's ready, clearly, because they went out and got somebody instead of Sperry. And, you know, they certainly, you know, went with Daniels because they feel like that gives them the best shot. I think that they are desperate enough to, you know, remember how in 2024 they waited so long to move off of DJ. I don't think that would be the same here. I think if Daniels really struggled early, they would try and go somewhere else to see what they had with Sperry or Marshall or whoever, you know. I think one of the young kids is injured right now and is out for the year, but I think they'll move on pretty quickly because every game does matter. And, you know, Daniels will certainly get his test early with you get the week zero game, which you should win, but then you get SMU week one and Bama a couple of weeks after that. So we will know pretty quickly what Daniels is able to do and how this offense, if it looks good enough for them to be competitive. So that's all I've got on QB1. So what do we have next, Harlan? Before we go to our next one, I will give Tallahassee Ford just a little bit of love. We appreciate them for all of their support. We appreciate them for their really not only just the fact that they are a great car buying experience, but all that they do in the community and all that they do to help people. If you watch the show, if you enjoy any part of the show, I would love if you just went and followed them on social media, just engage with what they put out. It's doesn't take much to just throw a like here or there, or maybe even comment that you saw them and followed because you listened to the show. I'm not asking you to go make a $20,000 or $30,000 purchase. If you want to follow them on social media, that would be great. But we appreciate Tallahassee Ford. If you are in the market for a newer used vehicle, make sure that you give my friends over there, Bill McKinney and those guys, a call, and they will get you taken care of. Richie, Jordan Travis comes back, a fan favorite. Is he in your top four quarterbacks of Florida State history? Like, the Heismans are my top three. No slight to anybody else. But then, like, EJ's up there. Christian's up there for me. I think Jordan is my number four. You know, like, I think it's like the Heismans and him to me.
Yeah, I think there might be some recency bias there. I agree. You know, I was at school when Christian Ponder was there, and, you know, if he stayed healthy, he truly could have been a legitimate, you know, Heisman contender as well, as, you know, I think Jordan was for most of the year before he went down. I think it's probably between Ponder and EJ for me, just because, you know, I got to know Christian a little bit talking to him. You know, we would get the quarterback for 30 minutes every single Monday when I was in school covering the team. Really good guy, a really cool person, you know, would always talk to all media. So that's might be a little more personal on my end. Jordan, obviously a very likable guy as well, and a ton of fun to watch, and, you know, brought Florida State out of the depths of, you know, where, you know, for that, even if just for that 1 year, but even the year before that, the 10-3 season, you know, Jordan, you don't have either those seasons, 22 or 23, without Jordan. He definitely left his mark on this program and where he came from. So he and Christian, for me, are 4A and 4B. I'm not sure. Depending on what day you ask me, I might have a different answer.
EJ was really, really high for me. I think what's big about Jordan is even in – so you mentioned the 2022 year where we went 10-3. Even in the 2021 year, like his record as a starter was pretty good. Like we lost the Notre Dame game, but he didn't. Or, well, he did start that one, sorry. But, like, he didn't start the Jacksonville State game. And he didn't start the NC State game that we lost or didn't play in it at all. He was really good as a starter that year. And so, like, his overall record was really pretty special at Florida State. Obviously, even in 21, when they had the 4th-and-14, that was really big. The wins against LSU, the ACC championship, all that. Anyway, all that said, that isn't really the point of the segment. He's probably number four for me. There may be some recency bias, but also winning an ACC championship, getting us to an undefeated season. You know, there are only, what, three quarterbacks that have ever led us to an undefeated season in Chris, Jameis, and Jordan. So that's that puts it on another level for me as well. He's coming back to work with the Boosters as kind of an ambassador type role. I think this is an interesting move because colleges are asking, and universities and athletic departments are asking people for more money than they ever have, right? And we're FSU fans, so we want them to have everything they can to be able to succeed. And I think this is a good marketing move. Now, I don't know that this is going to just rake in the cash. I don't know how many big money Boosters are like, oh, now Jordan's there, I'll give an extra million or whatever. But I do think it's a move when you are struggling so bad from fan perception and buyer fatigue and paying fatigue, and you're having to be asked to pay down this $400 million debt that they have, and a coach that can't win games, and stadium prices that are more expensive. And, oh, yeah, by the way, on your $65,000 salary, average fan, pay for these players to be millionaires, too, that aren't performing on the field. Like, I think fans are not even just at Florida State, just everywhere, like, dude, you're a $300 million athletic department in some of these conferences. We're like $200 million. Stop asking me for money. I do think that for a fan base that is just tired and a sport, really, that fans are fatigued from having to use their own money to try and buy success, I think this is a goodwill type move. I do think this is smart from the Boosters, and I do think they do a lot of things well, and this is one of them.
Yeah, I think it was interesting. And like you said, I think it's just an olive branch to the Boosters saying, hey, you know, we're doing everything we can. We're trying to get more people involved. Obviously, the big-time donors that are donating seven figures plus a year, this won't have a whole lot of impact on them, but that's not who this is really going after. It's going after, like you said, your average people making $50,000, $60,000 a year, who, money is tight right now for a lot of people, and what is it that you're going to do for me to let me give part of my paycheck to you as opposed to the million other things that we can do? And I think Jordan is a great person to do it. He was always a fan favorite. The media loved him. He carries himself extremely well. He doesn't have to work for a while. Injuries shortened his time in the NFL, but he did all right from a bank account standpoint. So he's probably not costing a ton of money. And I think that also speaks to Jordan's character, the fact that he's probably not taking he could probably make more money being an announcer or being on TV somewhere. But he truly does love Florida State and is a huge believer in Mike Norvell. And I think him willing to come back here, and that's something you can't hide, and it's also something that you cannot fake. So when he gets in those fundraising elements, when he's out there trying to get those extra donations, people are going to see him and see a genuine person who had a ton of success at Florida State, who gave Florida State fans the best season they've had since 2013, and it's going to come across as someone that, like, you're talking to a normal person and someone who you can believe. It's not like bringing back, you know, the extreme example, obviously, if Florida State were to strike a check for Dion to bring him to a Booster event and get Dion to hype people up in hopes that, you know, they raise, you know, $200,000 at this event. You're not going to hear Dion with what you know about him and think, oh, yeah, this is great. We're all Florida State family. No, with Jordan, I think you genuinely get that. And I was actually a big fan of this move because he's still young enough and recent enough that young fans and even older fans who are dedicated to watching this team every single Saturday know him. They adore him, and it's a win-win situation for the Booster department.
Yeah, their official statement said, we're fired up to welcome back Jordan Travis, who's teaming up with us to bring Seminoles United to life, a new way to connect through exclusive content, can't miss events, and one-of-a-kind experiences. Kind of what it sounds like, and they didn't, you know, from past that, they just kind of said, join the wait list and be first in line here. So not a ton of details there. But what that does kind of sound like to me, Richie, I am completely speculating. I haven't spoken with anybody. It sounds a lot like kind of what the Battle Zim was doing, where you could sign up and get exclusive content, behind the scenes stuff, interact with some players, interact with some different things, get to events that like the tailgates, like the stuff they did around spring game when they would have it, kickoff type stuff. And I don't know if they're moving some of that stuff from one to the other. I know that because of rev sharing, they are having to bring some of that stuff in-house. The Battle Zen still operates and still is working with our athletes. But it sounds like they're kind of making it a, I don't know if it's like a, hey, you pay this level of booster membership and you get to this you know, club or private, you know, invite type thing, or if it's, hey, you have your booster membership here and then you also join this at X number a month or X number a year and you get access to, I would assume, Jordan and other athletes too. I do think it's smart in the way of just him being so recent. Jameis would certainly still move the needle, but I mean, at this point, he's still in the NFL. Like, he's still playing football. And so I do think it's smart that you're bringing in somebody who is tied to, let's be honest, the happiest recent memories that we have of Florida State. Like, save the Alabama game, that is the happiest we all were as Seminoles, was when Jordan was on the field. And I think that that's a good marketing thing to do. I think that's a good brand kind of recognition thing that Florida State's doing. I don't know how much it ultimately moves the needle in a massive money way, but I think you need all the goodwill you can with a fan base that is frustrated right now. And so I think that's smart from that perspective. Jordan is a great person. You talked about, you know, could maybe go into TV or go into this or go into that. Yeah, I mean, his brother literally does that for the big ACC network games and some of the ESPN stuff that happens. So he certainly could do a number of different things. He was literally drafted in the fifth round by the Jets, which the draft we'll get to here in a minute. And even though injuries cut that playing time short, he could do a lot of things. The fact that he's choosing to give back to Florida State. And I do think from watching his podcast, listening to him talk, being around him some, like, you do get the sense that he does truly care and he does love this place. And though he is a Mike Norvell loyalist, and he will be till he dies, because that's the guy who gave him a chance and let him really be the star that he ended up becoming, he loves Florida State more than anything. And so I think it's good that you have more people that care about seeing Florida State succeed in the building, and somebody that fans, I think, resonate with. Jordan Travis could tell a big group of people, hey, I need you to do this. And a lot of them would do it, you know? And so I do think that it's a good move by FSU. We don't say that a lot here recently. We're pretty negative about a lot of things just because of the state of the program. But, you know, hats off to you for this one, because I think this is well done. Final thoughts on this one?
Yeah, no, again, it's nothing huge, nothing major. It's not going to bring in that Spanx money or anything like that right now just yet. But it's, again, it's something positive to talk about, and it gives us a chance to at least talk about, you know, Jordan Travis and what he did at Florida State, and make us feel good about what we have going on before we get to this next segment, which might be a little bit of a downer.
Before we get to the downer, Richie, let's do some picks, which I threw this into the prize picks screen, Harlan. And let's see if I can throw that up. I have it right here. And I just think Richie's not in it. I might be in it by myself. But let me flip Richie out, replace guest. Sorry. You're just getting live live editing while we're on here. I didn't do my job beforehand, but all this will get clipped out on the recap. So let's do some picks here, Richie. NBA action tonight. The NBA playoffs, you mentioned the Magic game, which was phenomenal. I feel like the NBA playoffs have been pretty terrible at times. The Magic series has been great. And so another series that I'm just personally invested in, because LA is up 3-0 on Houston. We'll pick these right here. I don't know if you have any idea on any of these, but you're going to pick them either way. You at least know some of these players. Marcus Smart, 5.5. I can't even do what that says. Assists, more or less.
Marcus Smart. I'll go less on that one.
I'm going to go more. He has been kind of hot. I do think Houston wins today to make it 3-1, but I think the Lakers end up winning the series. But I will go more. He's been a little bit hot. Amen Thompson. 23 points and assists for Houston.
Points and assists. I'll go more on that one.
I'm going to go more as well. I might be going more on. I might go 6-for-6 more here, which is a terrible idea. But if the over hits, then I'll be fine. LeBron James, 39.5. I think that's points, rebounds, and assists. He's been very close to a triple-double like every single game. I'm going to say this is the one game he doesn't play quite as well. I think Houston wins, and I'm going to go less on this one.
Yeah, I think Houston's probably the better team. They probably have a lead late, so LeBron's going to be playing a lot. I'll say more on this one, actually. I just think he really does it all. It's amazing. You know, I don't watch a ton of Lakers games, but you know, when I do watch him, it for what he's doing at his age is crazy. I think he'll go more. And that was really cool that alley-oop he added to his son the other night.
The things he's doing at 40, I know people either love or hate LeBron. It is insane that he's doing this at 41. I know Brady did stuff late in his career, but the athleticism it takes to jump above the rim right now is just different than I've ever seen in my life. Jabari Smith, 15 and a half points. I'll go less on this one. For no reason,
I'll go less.
I don't want to go 6 for 6.
I'll go less because I went more on the first three. I went less on the first one, so I'm at 2 and 2. Yeah, we'll go less. We're just playing a numbers game here.
LeBron's rebounds at 7.5. I'll go more on this one. He gets 8 or 9 every game. He just always finds a way to grab the ball.
Yeah, for me, it ties in with the more on the first one, the points, rebounds, and assists. So I think the rebounds will be a part of that. So I'll just go more on that one to help my first wager on LeBron out.
Kevin Durant, 23.5 points for our very last one. Okay, he hasn't played. Like, he's been hurt. So this makes it so tough because I feel like he's either going to, they're going to force feed the heck out of him, or like he's not even going to get in the game. So I don't know. I want to go more here just because I do think that if he does, now if he doesn't play, they just refund it. But if he does play, I think they're going to force feed the crap out of him. And I think he gets a more.
I would say the odds are if you're, you know, just trying to make a pick here, I'm going to go less. If he plays and plays, you know, 30 minutes or so, I could definitely see that going more. I just think, it, you know, based on what we know right now, I got to take the less on this one.
Prize Picks, use our code HMA. Get $50 instantly when you set a $5 lineup. You can do that in about 30 seconds. Really easy. We appreciate Prize Picks for their support. Go check them out. All right, Florida State in the NFL draft. We will start with the one piece of good news. Daryl Jackson picked up by the Jets. I think that's their sixth NFL, their sixth FSU pick in the last 5 years, if I'm not wrong on that. From Jermaine Johnson to Jordan Travis to other guys they've picked up, they have been FSU, a factory up there for FSU players. Daryl Jackson gets drafted by the Jets. This was in round 4, the third pick of that round, 103 overall, so just barely misses that 100 pick cutoff. He was Florida State's only player drafted. Before we get into the bigger picture on this, I am happy for DJX. All he did this year was eat up double teams and triple teams at times. I'm excited to see what he can do at the next level. A guy that, unfortunately for him, transferred away from Miami when they stunk, came to Florida State, and we started to stink, and Miami got really good. So I don't know, man. I don't know if he regrets that or not. I don't know what his thoughts were, but at the end of the day, he played with max effort from the time he started until his last game against Florida, and you know, hats off for that. He didn't get to play on a good team ever. His first game ever actually was the Georgia game, which was the 60-point loss in the bowl, and he played with great effort really throughout. And you know, his stats were never incredible because all he did was get double teamed because we didn't have enough on the defensive line around him. And so for a guy that puts in that level of effort, you can question like the whole, oh, dude, does he want to go back in the portal? Not what, I don't care about any of that. He played with pretty good effort for his, you know, 2 years on the field. And I do really wish him the best. I'm interested to see. I thought the Jets actually had a good draft. I'm interested to see what they look like. And hopefully they can continue to improve because I do end up rooting for all the FSU guys that make rosters.
Yeah, you know, he's one of those guys that you would always, you know, hold your breath when their rumors started popping up about who is going to see what other options are out there. And that is frustrating, but it's only frustrating when it's a really good player, right, that you don't want to lose. And every school has this happen. But if a player that doesn't even see the field, if they have those thoughts or rumors get out there, people are like, oh, whatever, if he leaves, he leaves. So I think that shows that the fans understand that he was immensely talented. And to your point, when he was on the field, he gave it his all. That he was a growing man. He is ready, obviously, getting to the level of conditioning you need to at the NFL. It's completely different from college, but you know, based on the production he has, the attitude he has on the field, that's not going to be a problem for him when he gets up to New Jersey, you know, to get ready for camp and going to join the Jets. But yeah, I think he was one of the very few bright spots on a very bad team this year. And, you know, when it came to take the field, he gave it his all every single time. So again, off the field, you could be upset. It's not like he was out getting arrested or anything like that. You know, he just was doing what was best for him, trying to please a lot of people while still doing the best thing for him, which any of us would do if we were in that situation. You know, how you handle it, whatever. But when he was at Florida State, from everything we know, he practiced hard, he played hard, did everything he could. It'd be really easy, knowing you're going to the NFL, to check out towards the end of the season, especially when you're having a season like we had last year. And for him to continue to just go out there every single week, knowing there's really nothing to play for at that point, and still giving great effort, shows a lot about his character. And I think that might have helped him out in this draft a little bit, to be honest, because teams know when you're on a really bad team and they're looking what players are checking out at the end of the season. Well, Darryl Jackson was not one of them. So, you know, not the legacy he wanted to leave at Florida State as far as his time here and what the team accomplished. But, you know, I don't think he'll be a forgotten guy by any means.
So when I think about this draft, it is frustrating. You know, I just read a Brendan Sinone tweet, so I will give him some love over at Knowles 24/7, kind of getting to the negative side of this draft. He said, outside of the amazing 2024 draft class, and he put in quotes, a pinnacle and a major outlier relative to all other data points, FSU's average picks per draft is lower under Mike Norvell than it was during his time at Memphis. So if you remove how crazy of an outlier 2024 was, where we had, what, 9 or 10 guys drafted? Jordan, Jared, Trey, Johnny, Braden Fisk, was Tatum drafted in that one? Certainly a cornerback that I'm forgetting was drafted. Like, that draft class was insane. Outside of that one, he's literally got less players drafted per year at Florida State than he did at Memphis. That's unimaginable. And I know we've done a pretty good job, Richie. Hats off to us and pats on the back for being pretty positive on this show and not just being down in the dumps or whatever. And I guess this is the time where we just break out of that and kind of have to be real with people. It is unacceptable that Florida State has one player drafted. Florida won 4 games and had like 6 or 7 guys drafted. Like, Clemson was terrible this year and had a ton of guys drafted. LSU fired their coach, ton of guys drafted. Penn State lost like 3 of their first 5 games, fired their coach, had way more guys drafted. Like, it is unacceptable. You know, this isn't disparaging to anybody on the roster currently, but it's embarrassing that our roster looks like it does. And I'm not surprised. Like, I didn't go into Thursday night thinking that we would have any more than one drafted. No. Like, we all knew this was the reality, but now that it's finally happened, I think it's something we can talk about. This roster just isn't good enough. And it all goes back to what we talked about before, not being good enough in recruiting, not having the portal hits that we had, you know, in 22 and 23 and 24. But it is, frankly, it's disgusting how bad this roster is for Florida State University. This is, and I think head to head, I would take us. This is ultimately a USF level roster that we've put on the field the last 2 years. And I don't even know, to be fair with you, USF went into the swamp and won last year. I don't even know that we would have beat USF last year, because though their roster may not have been as good, I think they were probably a better team that found ways to win and had a better quarterback and certainly a better coach with Golish now at Auburn. So I cannot even believe that we're getting through a season and having one guy drafted. That one guy that was drafted was a Miami transfer. We had 0 guys drafted that were recruited by Mike Norvell. Like, that's absurd to think about. And I never in my life thought we would get to a point where there were not a handful of guys drafted from Florida State. And you have off years. Like, in 22, there weren't a lot of guys drafted because they all ran it back for 23. That's different. Where a bunch of guys said, you know what, I'm not going to go to the NFL. I'm going to try and make this work. Verse, Wilson, Benson, Travis, all those guys said, let's run it back. So that's different. And you look at this year's roster, How many guys on this year's roster, 2026, are you confident? Like you would bet your mortgage on getting drafted. I think you feel really good about Deuce. I think you feel fairly good about Chroma. I think you feel okay about the Desir twins. And then I don't know that there's like a bona fide, surefire, maybe Wisner. And then you might project some freshmen, you know, like if the things we're hearing about Devin Carter continue for three more years, then yeah, maybe that guy could get drafted. But I think we're too far away to include freshmen in this conversation because you really just don't know. We've had other freshmen that we've been hyped about and never seen them make the field. So five, maybe? Like there are five guys that you're like, I mean, Deuce, again, you feel like probably Chroma, you feel really good about. I don't know that the Desir twins are a lock at this point. Maybe one of them. I think you're talking like 3 to 5 guys on a roster of 103 players. And at least two of them are huge maybes. I think all five of those guys will at least get picked up as undrafted free agents. But we're just in a spot right now where this is not a good roster. Like, that's just what it is. And the NFL will tell you that because players get drafted from bad teams all the time. Penn State had a guy go in the first round. Clemson had a guy go in the first round. LSU had guys go in the first. Like, this roster is, again, not trying to disparage anybody on it. The roster's not good. It is a group of five level roster at an ACC program. Like, it's not even hard to build a good roster in the ACC because the rest of the conference, minus Miami, is trash. And I don't know any other way to put that. I know I'm going on for a rant for a while here. The roster is terrible for Florida State standards. There are some good pieces. Maybe they gel together. Maybe they figure it out this year. Maybe they get to 7 or 8 wins. I don't know. But it's bad.
Yeah, it clearly is. And to put that in, to paint a picture a little bit, how bad it was. TJ, do you know how many teams in college had at least one player drafted before Florida State had a player drafted this week?
So if there were 100 picks, I would say at least 40, 50.
74 college programs had a player drafted before Florida State did this weekend. Some of those include South Dakota State, Liberty, Air Force, Navy, and Army all had players drafted before Florida State. Troy, Toledo, Western Michigan, Northern Illinois. It's just insane. And that just shows you how hard is it? You're Florida State. You don't have one guy on here that can be a top 2-round pick, like one of the top, 60 players in the draft. We don't have any of that. You luck into players like that, like a random 3-star who, just his body completely transforms in 2-3 years. And all of a sudden, he's a day 2 pick, right? You don't have any of that. And I went back and checked out the 247 talent composite, which goes based on recruiting rankings. In this past season, Florida State was number 19 in the country, which is also an embarrassingly low number for Florida State to be at 19. Some of the teams in front of them that you just scratch your head at, and it just shows how poor of a job we've done compiling our roster outside of the one outlier year, right, TJ, where we just went for broke to bring everybody back. Lucked into getting Keon Coleman late, who was a game changer for FSU, obviously, but we went all in for that year, and to give Florida State some credit, it worked. They didn't get a chance to prove it, but it did work. Their strategy worked, right? The way things ended, we've discussed that ad nauseum. We don't need to go into that again. But there's just not a lot of talent on this roster. You are a Wake Forest-type program right now. You are a BC-type program when it comes to talent. Also, two schools who had players drafted before Florida State did. that's where they are as a roster standpoint, and that's not magically going to change. And when you have a roster like this, it puts ceilings on your season. And I miss the days where if you lost 2 games in September, you were extremely disappointed because, my goodness, man, what could have been this season? This year, you lose 2 or 3 games in September. You're like, okay, yep, that's about what we were thinking. Let's finish strong and get to a bowl game. And that's kind of where the state of this program is. And the NFL draft is the one equalizer that will tell you that completely unbiased and say your players suck or your coaches suck because you got all these good players and look at your record. Hello, Florida. Kudos to them for moving on from that coach, though. Or you're in the worst case scenario that a school like Florida State is right now, where you have underwhelming coaching and underwhelming talent, and at a place like Florida State, that will not fly.
When you look at the drafts, like even the Willie to Mike drafts, were better, right? Like the guys Willie recruited ended up getting drafted still, like Kando and Asante Samuel Jr. And like it just, I mean, obviously, you know, Willie's the one that brought Travis in as a transfer. It is, you know, Jamie Robinson got drafted, you know, in a year where we didn't have a lot of guys, you know, he got drafted. I just kind of pulled them all up. Cam Akers was the lone draft pick in 2020, the year after Willie was gone during the COVID year, but he was a second rounder. I mean, he's a top 50-ish pick. Brian Burns, you know, Willie's second year went, and I know that was a Jimbo guy, but he went first round, you know, while Florida State was just terrible with Taggart. And, yeah, it is kind of unimaginable how poor the roster is. And it is such a chicken or the egg thing. I saw somebody comment, you know, Florida had more kickers drafted than we had overall players. I mean, that is insane, man. Florida was a 4-win team. And so you can be a bad team, but it's not just that Florida State's a bad team or was a bad team. We'll see what this year holds. It's that there just aren't difference makers on this roster. I think Deuce is a difference maker. I think the Desir twins would be factors as a difference maker. I think Cromwell is a difference maker. Wisner might be. But outside of that, man, you've just got guys. Like, you've got guys that are just there. And it's Florida State, bro. Like, this isn't Syracuse or Wake Forest or BC or UNC or Duke or any of these other places. Like, even Duke. Like, there's a reason that Miami stole away Darian Mensah and Cooper Barkate, who were elite players, and they're going to be elite players for Miami this year. There's no doubt about it. But even Duke had guys that Miami wanted to go steal. I mean, there's nobody on Florida State's roster that Miami is like chomping at the bit to go get. And so, I mean, yeah, maybe that's a good thing because you don't have to be depressed about getting snatched at the last second, but there's nobody on your roster worth snatching. And it's such a chicken or the egg thing because, you know how you fix that, Richie? You go out and recruit better. You go out and invest more in high school recruiting. From a Florida State, we talked about, we gave the booster some love earlier. From a Florida State administrative position, you go out and you spend more money on high school recruiting. And you hire better coaches, which I will say, I think they did this offseason. I also think it's probably a little too late, too late. But they did do a good job of going out and getting Nick Williams and Blue Adams and different people. They didn't care about high school recruiting for 6 or so years of this program, and now they're so far behind the eight ball that you see some of these other visit lists, and you see the top 100 prospects that, like, I had Newberg on the national show a couple of weeks ago. I didn't even talk with him about Florida State because we're not in it for any of those guys. And when you're not landing elite talent out of high school and you can't get elite talent out of the portal anymore because nobody wants to come in and play for a roster that's going to be fighting for a bowl game, you're not going to put guys into the league. They're not great developers. Let's just call a spade a spade. How many high school recruits has Mike Norvell had drafted? Well, I'm looking at it right now. Joshua Farmer was Renardo Green a high school prospect, or was he a transfer?
That high school. From Kissimmee, I believe. Yeah.
So there's two. He's had two high school prospects drafted. Renardo was a he was an FSU guy. So he's had two players drafted in 7 years, Richie, that are high school prospects.
Yeah.
Like, their development is terrible. And so you can't get elite guys. You can't turn mid-level guys into stars. Let's be fair. Nobody does that. Like, Indiana didn't have a ton of guys drafted. They were just really good college players. You can't, and they're guys that were drafted. Mendoza goes number one. I mean, obviously, he was there for 1 year as a transfer. So, yeah, nobody's turning three stars into first-round picks consistently. You find diamonds in the rough here and there. But they can't recruit. They can't develop. And how do you change that cycle? Well, I mean, the answer to changing that cycle is by getting a new coach that can do those things. But I don't know. It's disgusting. The level of athlete on Florida State's football roster, again, not to disparage the kids that we'll all cheer for here in the fall, it's just not been good enough the last 3 years, or the last 2 years, and I don't think it's going to be good enough this year. Like I said, how many guys on this roster are – I guess I asked that question and then asked it hypothetically, but – can you think of anybody else outside of the 4 or 5 that I named? The Desir twins, Deuce, Croma, maybe Wisner. Like, is there anybody else that just screams NFL certain draft pick that I'm just leaving out of that?
Not that I can think of it. And to take it a step further, with either a coaching change happening, if it happens after this year, who knows? But even if not, the chatter is there. how many of those guys on the roster that you just named are going to claim Florida State, or will they be at another school by the time they're drafted?
I thought about that too, and I didn't want to bring it up. Like, there's nothing saying that now Deuce will, because it's last year of eligibility, yeah. But there's nothing saying that those guys even finish out their careers at Florida State, because the transfer portal, not just for FSU, but adds a completely different level of complexity into this thing. So I don't know. It is frustrating. Hopefully it'll get better. Hopefully I'm dead wrong on this. You know, like I think for like 4 or 5 years of doing the show, Richie, like we were like the ultra positive folks. Like, yeah, we were always trying to put like the positive spin on things, and okay, well, it's really okay because we have this, or, you know, the Seminole logo, or just whatever we would try to do to like try and lie to ourselves and tell ourselves that things were better. I remember we'd get on some of these shows in 2020 and we were putting a positive spin on a 3-6 season. And it's just first year, it's COVID, it's this bad quarterback play, blah, 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 blah. And I think you just get to a point where you're just, yeah, you got to face the facts, man. Like, it is not good enough for Florida State. Now, all that said, I think I'm going to be at 7 or 8 games this year. I will watch all 12, hopefully a 13th if we can make a bowl game. I want us to do well. I think what would be best for Florida State is for Mike Norvell to figure this out. I think it would be better for Florida State long-term if Mike Norvell figured it out and became an elite college coach, or even just a good college coach, to transition you to another guy. I think that would be what's best for Florida State. I don't dislike Mike Norvell. I don't think he's a bad person. I don't really know him super well to say that he's a great person or a good person. You know, I don't know any of that. But I like him, and I would like for him to work out. I just don't know that that's realistic. I think that any juice that guy had is so completely gone that it's not even funny. And again, like we talked about in the beginning, when national guys talk about Florida State, it is a complete obituary. Like, it is, the writing is on the wall. You know, Nebuchadnezzar has seen the writing on the hand on the wall, and it's over, right? I think it was actually Belshazzar, but for some Old Testament history there for you guys. But I don't know. It's frustrating. Hopefully I'm dead wrong on this, and 8 guys get drafted next year. I don't see it as far as today goes. I think if you got to the end of this year, Richie, and 5 guys got drafted, I think we would be doing backflips. You feel really good about Deuce. The Desir twins aren't eligible. Cromaw's not eligible. Wisner would be. Daniels would be. Some of your secondary is. Some of your offensive line is. If you could see some guy, if you could get 5 guys drafted this year, that'd be a major win. I'm telling you right now, if you're giving me the over-under on 4.5, I will bet my mortgage on the under of 4.5. I do not think 5 players get drafted from this roster next year. That's my pick.
And just so I'm not putting words into each other, he did not say Daniels is going to get drafted. He just mentioned him if he does. but I will say this. If we're talking about Daniels getting drafted at the end of the year, that means Florida State actually probably had a pretty good season. So let's just keep our fingers crossed for that one.
When is the CFL draft? Because does that count for my over-under? All right, that's all I've got for today. Sorry that we got to the negative part, but we did try to be more positive during the beginning. But at the end of the day, as a fan, you know, I see the comments, you know, like complaining doesn't really change a lot. You are completely right on that. But we also just try and be honest. We call what's good, good, and what's bad, bad. And this was a horrible draft for FSU, and hopefully that doesn't continue, whether it's with Mike or anybody else. I would like to see FSU have more players that the NFL says, yeah, we want that. And right now, unfortunately, they just don't. And that's sad that that's the case in Tallahassee. Richie, any shout outs or anything before we jump out of here?
Not off the top of my head. Just good to be back. And shout out the Magic. Why not? Monday night, game 4. Let's go ahead and make this 3-1.
Appreciate you guys for tuning in. I don't know that I have any shout outs today. Shout out to the people who watch this live, and of course the replay watchers too, because we appreciate it. I don't know when we'll be back, but when news warrants it, we'll be back and we'll do another show. So there's that. Appreciate you guys for tuning in, and we will talk to you guys soon. As always, go Noles.